Well, welcome to the Repos Knowledge Show, and we're here for the next probably 50 minutes to 55 minutes tonight. And really pleased to say, joining us this week, of course, is the manager of Stanway Rovers, the team that are flying at the minute in the Sixteen League, and Jamie Shaw. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, David. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. And of course, George as well, assistant manager down at Brighton in Sea Region. How are you, George?
How are we, Dave? We good?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. And a man, of course, that I've got to know over the last month or so, in Jamie Harrington, who's doing so much for on social media now for football in Kent. Of course, we'll let him promote his own sort of pages when we speak to Jamie in a bit. But he's doing a fantastic job down there for all those teams in Kent. So he's on tonight to have a chat with us about how it's going and what he sees for the future of Kent football as well. But if we can, I mean, we just have a general conversation. We was having a sort of general conversation before we sort of went live. But I mean, the Essex Senior League and the Isthmian North, I mean, it's not far to go, but very exciting, guys. Jamie,
You start, mate. You're top of the league.
The Isthmian North is actually the league I'm most familiar with. It's where I've spent most of my playing time. Definitely the league I know best. So, sort of coming into the Essex Senior League October time last season, I've had to learn the league very fast. And as George already alluded to, it's just a tough league. I mean, we've got a team full of step four players, and even the players have commented that it's tough for them to play. There's a lot of unpredictable sides. It's hard to explain, but very, very tough league, really tough. And this year, especially, I've never seen anything like it in terms of, we go on a 26 game unbeaten run and we can't get away from no one. There's a top five or six that have just not dropped points all year, and it's kind of like, I mean, for the other teams, they must be gutted, because I think in sort of other seasons there'd probably be five or six candidates that would probably go on to win the league and their points tally they've got.
I mean,
So.
look at it. I mean, it just shows you what a big league it is. Last year, of course, two teams in the FA Vars final, and they're sitting down in fifth and eighth this year. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it just shows you. I mean, we had the chairman last week doing the draw and stuff, and he was saying that it's going to be a tough old run. And he said, "Don't take your eyes off Takeley."
Yeah, Takeley, I think we're probably, I don't want to do a sort of a disservice to the other sides, because there's a lot of top teams in it this year, but Takeley were probably, I would say, the toughest side we've faced so far. And we've got them last game of the season away from home, so I'm sure it's quite an exciting prospect for everyone as a neutral, for sure.
I mean, have you found it as well? I mean, for all you guys, I mean, I've looked at quite a few of the leagues this year, and for the first time in a long time, there really isn't many leagues where a team's completely running away with it at the top of the table. We always seem, seems to be really, really close. I mean, Faversham in their league, they're sort of hanging on by a point from VCD, and I say you've got, the Brentwood Town, I think that they're sort of about 3 points in, but as it showed on Saturday, you can lose to anybody. So, I mean, everywhere seems to be really tight this year. I mean, what do you think's the cause for that? I mean, Jamie, George, and Jamie H. I mean, what do you think's the cause for that?
I think for the Essex Senior League specifically, I just think that football in general, there's so many passionate managers now that do their homework, that have relationships with other managers, and they do the homework on sides and they'll set up accordingly. And there's so much time and effort that goes in now, even the lower levels in football. Everyone's so well prepared. And I mean, for us specifically this year, one stage I think we'd won 20 and drawn three, which is incredible. And I think in any other division you'd have found yourself, with some cushion at the top, and we've never had a cushion all year, which is quite crazy to see. But obviously can't speak too much for
Yeah,
the other this year.
but especially when I was in the Essex Senior League, when we were there with Redbridge, it was one went up, and then we went up via the interstate playoffs. As soon as they opened up the actual playoffs, like proper playoffs to step five, the level has just gone bang, just purely because, like, we found ourselves, say, in February with 12, 14 teams not playing for anything. So sort of teams don't give up, but budgets get cut or players would lose that bit of appetite and move on and stuff like that. Whereas now, what I've seen, particularly in the last 2 years of the Essex Senior, There's seven, eight, nine teams up to the last month of the season that could creep in. So everybody's got some, not everybody, but most have got some to play for, and they're continuously pushing. But like what James said earlier, with the Essex Senior League, it's the strangest league ever. You could go to a team on a Tuesday and they'll have a different team out than a Saturday. Or if you play them on a Saturday, they might be weaker than if they dual register players and they play on a Wednesday, say, when, I don't know, they might have four or five step four players in from playing on a Wednesday or a Monday night. It's a,
Yeah.
yeah, it's a really difficult league to get out of, to be
I mean,
fair.
someone said that as well. But I mean, I've seen reports from sort of Harlow Town fans as well down at Step Six, where they're saying like, you know, they'll watch a team get, you know, 1 week and they're getting absolutely pummeled, you know, and that same team will go to Harlow Town the following week, where, you know, the support was expecting a nice easy win, and they turn up with a completely different side because they're playing Harlow Town, who's sort of like the, this be fair,
Yeah,
the
it's a big
team,
gap.
the biggest team in that league. Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden they're getting, you know, either turned over or they're taking points off them. So it just seems a weird thing. But in that Essex Senior League, and we said Takeley, and I know someone said Little Oakley as well, but for me, there's one team in there that I don't know. Is it fated that they'll go up in the playoffs? And it depends on whoever's in there, in that little rogue called Craig Edwards down at Barking.
I think there's an obvious improvement there. When he took over, they've just improved week upon week, and they came and took our unbeaten away run away from us a few weeks back, and it was a really tough game, really tough. And I wouldn't, I mean, no team should fancy taking them in the playoffs, that's for sure. Under his management, they've got a really good side. Just sort of the basics in terms of big back three, big up front, physical in midfield, and then the smaller, quicker players out wide. He just gets the basics right.
And in saying that, they lost to West Essex at the weekend.
And that sort of sums the league up. We beat West Essex 8-1 a few weeks ago, and then Barking beat us, and then West Essex beat Barking. It's just, yeah, it kind of sums the league up, really.
Is it one of those things, though? I mean, as you said, you know, Joey, I mean, you're sitting there like at first, 32 played, 76. You got Woodford 33, 74. You know, taking on 68, Barking 67, Greta Wakeham 63. I mean, that's are they going to be the ones that are going to be in the playoffs? Those four, if you win the league, do you feel that they'll be them, or do you feel that Little Oakley? I mean, all right, they've only played 30 games, but are they too far behind?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, it's only my opinion. I
Yeah.
can't see the top five changing now, personally. I think Saffron Walden's last couple of results that went didn't go their way has probably given them a difficult task to sort of squeeze in there late on. And I think the teams below that just not consistent enough to put a run together. Little Oakley are great at home, maybe not so good away from home, which probably lets them down a little bit. But those top five teams, there's nothing to split any of them. You could put any two of those teams, ourselves included, against each other on the day, and good luck predicting the result. That's all I'd say.
This is it, you know, again, if you put points on teams, I mean, that put, you know, if you all level on 33, I put that Wakeham up to 69, 70, 74 for Takeley, that'd be level with Woodford Town, and then you'd be on 79, so you'd be sort of, you know, a few points clear. But I mean, is it going to be a, have you got a tough running?
Don't think you'd ever hear any manager say the running's not tough. The effort and the time that goes in, and the sort of anxiety we feel week upon week upon every game. It's the classic cliche. No, you don't feel like any game is easy, and you don't take any game for granted. And then you take sort of one game at a time, and it doesn't matter who we're playing. We go into the game fully prepared, and we try and win it. That doesn't mean to say the outcome always goes your way. And there's been lots of different results this year where, Clacton, I think, got a point away at Woodford, for example, which is something you wouldn't have expected. So you just don't know. We've got 6 games left, and the aim is to win them all, and hopefully, it'd be nice if maybe some other team dropped some points along the way. But
And we've got Sawbridge with Town at home at the weekend, then Ben Fleet at away, FC Clacton away, Halstead Town at home, Athletic Newham at home, and then, as you said, you finish off at Takeley.
yeah, and I guess from an outsider's perspective, on paper, you'd probably say we've got a run of winnable fixtures. doesn't mean anything really, does it? We've still got to make sure we turn up and do our part on each day. You've got Sawbridge Worth that are fighting for their lives at the bottom, and they picked up a little bit of form. I think they beat Romford 2-0 on Saturday. Clacton's a local derby. Halstead are probably the informed team in the league at the moment. I think they've won five on the bounce. So there's just, there's absolutely no given, which you'd probably hear every manager say, but there literally is no given. Even Athletic Newham, one of those sides that I'd probably put in the bracket of what George alluded to, where you don't really know what's going to turn up. And on that day, they've proven they can beat all the big sides, and they've also lost us to lots of the bottom sides. So it's so unpredictable. It's really
In
hard to
two seasons, I never beat them. In
predict.
five games, we beat them on penalties in the cup. Like we drew with them, and we had four draws with them and a loss. Honestly, I couldn't beat them. They were my bogey team. Such a good, strange side. I just couldn't.
I think one of the things that we were sort of grateful for earlier, we weren't grateful at the time, but we had a run earlier in the season, sort of October, November time, where we had seven away games in a row, and we got out of the way, like Frentford, Buckhurst Hill, Athletic Newham, all those places in London where for us is quite some travel, and they're difficult when they're away from home, and we got them all out of the way, and we come through them with victories, and we're much better at home. So that I think that sort of it was. It definitely a pivotal point for us this season to get those games out of the way, and then have the reverse fixtures at home, at a time where we know we're going to be stronger at home, which has been reflected when you see the results that we've had away from home against certain sides and then at home. That's really evident to see.
But you look at the last, you like, I've just pulled up Saturday the 26th of April, and it's amazing how fixtures work because, as you said, you're away to Takeley. There could be something on that. You might have already got it in the bag by then, but there could be something on that, and then Woodford against Barking. Just incredible how they sort of fall, isn't it?
And they could
Yeah.
find each other within a couple of days in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, as
Exactly.
managers, if that, if say, for instance, let's take them two, for instance, at the minute, Woodford Town and Barking, and it works out that, that depending on how that result plays, they're both in the playoffs, that, they know they're definitely going to be there. How do you sort of, as managers, how do you sort of approach that game? Because you don't want to get into that game and go, I think it's a bit like the Newcastle manager say, when we played Liverpool, we didn't want to show what we had about them in the league. What we worked out about them until we got to the, to the cup final. So how do you sort of work that out as a
Well,
manager? Do you
we
play
actually had
really
a really
important?
interesting game. We played Woodford away on the 3rd of Jan, and we'd had a break of about 3 weeks. And at the time, I think they could have gone above us if they'd have beaten us that day. And it was almost like a game of poker. Like no one really, you could really tell the in the game. It was like no one really wanted to lose the game, and it was like no one wants to show their hand. And in hindsight, we could have gone there. I think far more expansive in attacking, and maybe have taken the points. Because we weren't to know at the time that they were going to sort of set up to maybe waste time. The manager was rolling the ball on the pitch like slowly because they were happy to take the point. But you don't know that. You don't know what you're preparing for. I guess the difference in a playoff game is you've come all that way, and it's now sort of do or die at the end of the season. So I think as a manager, all you can really ask for is to leave everything out there and sort of have no regrets, because the last thing you want to do is go this far into a season and then sort of come away from a game with a result that you didn't want, having some regrets.
Are you looking forward to, to that sort of end fixture and then putting your feet up and going to watch the playoffs rather than
If
being
we could win the league
at
Saturday, I'd take it all day long. I don't want it to go any further than it has to. But at the same time, you don't want to count your chickens. You're just grateful if you can get promoted. Then obviously it's amazing, regardless of what time we do it. But like I say, and I've said this over and over again, that top five, that just any team on another given season would deserve promotion. And there's some top managers. They've all got great sides. There's nothing in it between any of us.
And I think them five teams would probably all do well in the North this season.
Yeah, I think you're right, George. I mean, obviously, I can speak more so for our team, and I actually think we're more suited to the North. The team we've got is full of players that have been step three and step four, still got a lot to give, and they've struggled a little bit more in the senior than what they actually have in the North. And I think we've probably got a side that would do, probably go under the radar, but do quite well in the league above. Easy to say in the position we're in, but it's the job in hand now, and it's a bloody difficult one, I can tell you that. And there's lots of managers that all have the same ambition. They all want to go up. They've all worked tirelessly hard. They've all got great sides. They're all doing their homework on every side. They're all tactically set up. They're all looking at every fine detail they possibly can. It's tough, really tough. And that's down at step five. So imagine the detail that you eventually get to as you sort of go up the pyramid.
So, Jamie, for people who don't know much about Stanway, I mean, tell us a little bit about the club in general.
I guess it's probably going to sound like the classic cliches, but really good, kind, hardworking people behind the scenes. There's no individual money man, so there's no magic money around the place. People may think we've got a big budget, but it's not anywhere near to the levels that people assume. Which is, I guess, a compliment to us because when we play certain teams and you hear comments from the opposition to do with budget, it's only a compliment that I've put a team together on the budget I've got. So. It's a well-run club. The club have never been to step four. Everyone's worked tirelessly to kind of improve everything on and off the pitch to sort of come up with the same end goal. It was a team that I played for as a player. It was probably my first semi-professional club before I stepped on from there. So there's obviously added there for me in terms of loyalty and wanting the club to do well. But I mean, locally, for anyone that sort of lives in Colchester, it's the biggest local club, in our area. In terms of infrastructure, the youth setup, and everything like that, they've just never really, I don't know, ha had the right things in place to go and get out the league, I guess.
Now they have,
I hope so.
yeah.
Possibly, we'll see.
Tell us about a few of your players, though.
We've got some great players. Like it's so satisfying as a manager when you, I think George would agree with this. When you pick out the ones that no one sort of knows about and they become a little gem, a bit like the Fletcher Hubbard that's at Brighton now. We've got a young lad Jamie Bennett who come through Sudbury Academy, and obviously I was at Sudbury as a football player, so I knew all about him. And he's 19 years old, and he spent the last month on trial with Colchester. Been doing really well. No one knew about him, and he's not doesn't earn frightening money. But they're the sort of the success stories you want. Another player I think is worth a shout out, George Okoye, top goal scorer in the league at the moment, a little bit of an unknown. Don't want to big him up too much because there'll be a few people that might chuck their name in the hat for him in the summer, but I think he's the best player in the league, personally.
I used to play. He was at Barking. He was always good, to be fair. It
He's
was only 2 years ago. He was a bit younger.
progressed phenomenally. Like we actually got him on loan from Basildon. He was there with Darren Manning and wasn't playing. Obviously, as he come out of our Arsenal Academy, tried to find his way in non-league, never had a club longer than 6 months. Came to us, didn't really want to be there to start with, which is understandable when you want to play higher and you sort of come on loan. And then he found a home. He found a home. Found teammates that he's now really good friends with. He's at a platform where he knows the manager's got immense faith in him, and he plays every minute. And forget the goals he scored. He hasn't scored a league penalty this year for a start, and he's top goal scorer in the league. But it's his performance. Like he's just got it all. He's got strength. He's got balance. He can go at people. He can retain the ball. He's just for me just a complete football player, and he's really really come on in the last year. But we've got him on a 5-year contract. So anyone listening.
When he was at Sudbury, though, was you there with Mark Morsley?
No, I wasn't. I was after Mark Morsley when Angelo Harrop and Rick Andrews were
Oh,
joint
yeah.
managers. The first year we got in the FA Cup first round. And then the second year, I didn't play as much, but sort of joined Rick's management team, if you like, and sort of played a big part in recruiting the side that we had that eventually went up. And then I was sort of finding my way, I guess, in terms of what do you do as a player when you stop playing? Do you go into management? Do you sort of hang in there, but your pride sort of hurt every week where you can't really perform the same? And I thought I was going to get the Sudbury job at one point, didn't get it. No hard feelings there. I've got a lot of time for the club. And then obviously Stanway comes available, and it's my club, So to be successful with your local club where you started is an extra bonus.
No, absolutely. It's looking very, very rosy. He's not going to say, is he? But Jamie H, I mean,
How you doing?
Great to have you on with us as well. I mean, tell everybody a little bit about what you are doing for, you know, as we said at the beginning of the show, around Kent football.
Yeah, basically, a few years ago, I used to follow Ashford United with my dad. I just fallen in love with non-league football. I just love the game, really. I followed, well, not followed, but I've seen a lot of teams around Kent. You might well have known them, Maidstone United. Used to follow them quite a bit, a few seasons. But yeah, I just love non-league football. Just love seeing teams that I've never heard of before. Yeah, I just love it.
What about Faversham? Because I mean, Faversham are one of these sides that at the beginning of the season, and I don't know if George and Jamie Asher agree, they're probably one of those teams that were odds on favourites to go up last year, the year before, this year.
Playoffs,
You know
didn't
what I mean? You know, do you think this is the year for them?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I think because I know Tommy from Ashford. Obviously, he managed Ashford a few years ago. Obviously, he's got a few players in his team that used to play for Ashford. I think he can get them up. But yeah, it's between them and VCD. I mean, VCD, I know they got points dropped off them a week ago. But yeah, I think they can go up as champions, to be fair. Don't see why not.
It's weird, isn't it? Because you know, yeah, again, to what we were saying earlier on, Isthmian teams that have you know fallen on you know bad times, etc., etc., and yet they're doing you know they're doing quite well this year.
Yeah, there they are. I mean, the Skiffle League, I just think it's getting better and better every year. It's getting more competitive. Because I remember when Ashford was in there and it was like a dogfight to get out of. It's a dirty league to be in when I remember when the likes of Phoenix Sports was in there and that. But yeah, I'm glad to see obviously see Ashford out of that league now. But yeah, Faversham, I think, yeah, they should get out of it pretty easy, to be fair. Obviously, they just got to win their remaining games and just keep their heads. I remember when Tommy said a few weeks ago, actually, he said, I think it was Sutton Athletic. I think they're like 15th in their league. And they win a couple of games, they'd be automatically straight in the playoffs. It's just unreal. They had the points. I was like 3 points or 5 points, something like that. Yeah.
And of course, one of those teams that are in there as well, still in the in the Vars, wasn't it? Whitstable Town.
Whitstable Town, yeah.
Yeah.
And the FA Vars, yeah, they're doing well in that. I'd like to see them get to Wembley. Be nice for them. But yeah.
Have you been to non-league day at Wembley?
No, I haven't, not yet. No. I'd love to, but don't know when, to be honest.
Maybe this year if Winchester Town get there.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
Maybe. I mean, I was talking to a few other guys, a mate of mine. He follows Sittingbourne, and obviously that was in the FA Trophy, and they got knocked out against Aldershot, didn't they, a few weeks back? But yeah, be interesting.
it's a great day.
It is.
I was there last year, luckily enough.
Yeah.
As I've said before, I was there doing press stuff for Romford last year, so I was lucky enough to be in the change rooms and in the tunnel and on the pitch. And you know, probably don't tell the missus, it's probably one of the best days of my life, in all fairness, with them. To be able to walk on a pitch that Alex Ferguson was walking on a week later was something else, to say the least. Especially
Yeah.
sure his accreditation was exactly the same as mine. It was quite nice, but a great day out. Well worth going, whether you're actually going there with a team or if you're actually going there just to watch it. I mean, guys, what do you think of non-league day? Sorry, non-league, you know, finals day. Do you enjoy
Yeah.
it?
Yeah, I've been lucky enough. Obviously, my brother played at Hornchurch, so the year everyone was allowed back in the stadiums, we went and watched him play there. And in the year after, one of my best friends lifted it with Bromley. So I've had a good few days, a good few years watching. And obviously, last year I went and watched some friends at Romford. But yeah, it's massive for non-league, isn't it? It's,
Yeah.
and let's be honest, it's the pinnacle. Like playing at Wembley. Like I remember when I think when Hornchurch got when they won it there. 2 weeks later, England Germany played in the Euros there.
Yeah.
It's just you just think it's just mental, like. Playing at Wembley, stuff of dreams, innit?
And the funniest thing about it is, you know, as well, they don't treat any club differently to whether you are Real Madrid, Romford. Brightley to Stanway Rovers, Faversham, you all get treated exactly the same way. You're going to your dressing room and you've got your club's logo on the floor in the dressing room, like a print all over the floor in a dressing room, and you get treated exactly the same way, as anybody else was. But the only thing I'd say maybe different is I don't know if Real Madrid and teams like that would get chicken and chips after the game in the dressing room. I don't know, probably not. They probably might get something a little bit more than chicken and chips. But Jamie, tell everybody about what you're, the Facebook bit that you're doing as well, because it's my phone pings like crazy on a Saturday and a Sunday. So I mean, you t tell everybody what you're up to on that.
Basically, there's a few people that do it, and I've seen what they do. They basically do like a Facebook page, and they write all the Kent teams that are playing on that Saturday. They do all the attendances and stuff like that. And I just thought I'd like to do my own little thing. It's basically just if people like I know or people that like to join and want to follow how the Kent teams are getting on, and that's something that what I've been doing basically. But I just enjoy doing that. I mean, there'd be if I get round to it, because obviously my work and everything, I like to go and see one team one Saturday, and then obviously go and see another team another Saturday. But like I say before, when I used to follow Maidstone a few seasons ago when they was in the National League, I used to go Tranmere, I used all up north, Barrow, and I used to enjoy it. I used to love it. It was a great day out and stuff. But they, like I say, there's teams. I mean, like there's like mates of mine. I always say to them, I say, "Do you love non-league football?" And they say, "It's all right and all that." And I say, "Well, you can't beat non-league football. I know the Premier League's the top one and the Championship and all that, but I just find non-league football completely different to the Premier League, of course, because what I love about non-league football is the prices to get into stadiums. It's nothing compared to Premier League money." And you can go around the pitch, it's just nice. And the players actually get bonded with the fans as well, and you can actually talk to the players, and I just love it. And especially when like FA Cup's on the telly and you see a team come out the draw and you think, blimey, I ain't seen that team before. But believe it or not, there's a team called The Street, if you might have known about it, up north somewhere. But I love it. But at the moment, if you're aware, then the top goal scorer in the FA Cup this season is Gary Lockyer. He's well known in Kent. He plays for Rashford at the moment. He's on 10 goals in the FA Cup. So he keeps saying every time the FA Cup's on, he's saying, "I'm getting my suit ready for the Wembley and all that." And it's mental.
Right, so, I mean, is people like, and this is for George and Jamie. So, I mean, people like, Jamie, and people like the likes of James Beardwell and people like that that follow it really closely. Is that a massive plus for your clubs if you've got, fans, or as James calls himself, super fan? Do you know what I mean? Is that a massive plus for you guys?
Yeah, I think it is, especially now with like Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. Like prime example, when we was at Redbridge, we had a lot. He still does it a lot. AJ Vision, I think he's called. And the boys are watching the goals of the game within an hour of the game being played. The VO can't even do it that quick. So yeah, no, it's massive. Just to share, like expand the profile of a club. It's really, really important. And without the fans, non-league wouldn't be non-league, would it? Let's be honest. But every club rely on fans to turn the gas and the hot water and the electric on, didn't they? So it's really important.
Jamis, you got somebody like that down at your place?
Yeah, we have. We've got quite a well-known guy who's really passionate about Stanway called, well, he goes by the name of G-Man. His videos have gone viral everywhere. You've probably seen, I assume you guys have both seen a video where he says, "I hope you're up for it today, boys," or whatever in the morning. I think it went viral even with Cheltenham. There was one Cheltenham post on Twitter. So, again, someone who's really passionate about Stanway, and he's really important to the football club, and people see him following, and they tend to then jump on the bandwagon. And when you tend to get know, now and again you'll get spurts of maybe a group of 10 or 15, which start creating a little bit of an atmosphere behind a goal. It does tend to stem from the original person who's passionate about the club. You see, Great Wakering have got two or three that really get behind the socials and a fan base, and then suddenly it grows around them, you know.
And before we was at Redbridge, we were at Averley with Keith. And I was reserve manager in the winter. And the Sons of Averley were literally, there was 10 of them, I think. And they'd hop on the coach that us players and staff would get to games. They'd come on, and now they're booking two or three coaches for themselves because it's how much the club's grown and how much their support's grown.
Nice.
It shows how important it is.
Well, one of my favourite grounds in non-league football has to be Brightley 2 Regent. Always has been. I don't know why. It's just something about the club. You go in there and it does feel really homely the minute you go in there, right at the end of a street, and you drive up to it and you think, where am I going? And it's just sort of pops out of nowhere right at the very end of the street. You've got probably one of the best chairmen in the game. As well, in Terry, who's an absolute dynamite guy, and just some real memories of Dan and Brightley. So I think one of the sort of memories that sticks in my mind was, I think we turned up to one game, and when I was with Harlow at the time, and I was match day secretary for Harlow, we turned up, got into the ground, and as they call themselves, the ultras were already there singing away and all the rest of it. And then all of a sudden, we were sitting in the stand just by the turnstile as you come in, just to the left, and it was a The only way to describe it was the stand was probably filled at that stage, and this was a few years back now, with some shall we say elderly ladies that were in that stand, as well. And all of a sudden, the Brighton Seas ultras as such came in, and I still remember it was a couple of ladies standing right behind the back of me, get up. But it was like the old resting on ITV. Do you know, on World of Sport? You got up with their handbags and they're swinging them at these at your ultras saying, come on, hurry up, get behind the back of that goal. They're already in here, having a right old go of them as they sort of come into the pitch. And then of course there's been like the standoff of eBay and all that sort of stuff and as well. But I mean, what is it like down at Brighton Sea for you, with Rye? I mean, it's
Funny you say that, actually. So my brother-in-law come to the ground first time this weekend. He's an orange season ticket holder. They didn't have a game, so he come down. And at the minute, as you drive down towards the stadium, there is black and red checkered flags all down the road in everybody's houses, and it looks just incredible. But yeah, look, Salts. Myself and Jack left Redbridge last October. It was just after three wonderful years. I needed just a break mentally. Jamie will tell you how demanding it is mentally being a manager and non-stop on your phone, non-stop speaking to players, etc. And I was just burnt out a bit. And I sort of come to the at Christmas, I sort of come to the realization I'm fine. Don't need to get back into it. I've sort of switched off from football completely. I've been to the odd game, but nothing crazy. And then sort of rung me about 6 weeks ago, and unfortunately lost his assistant manager to Maldon. And he first thing he said to me was, "You will love this club." And me and Salts have always got on. We had the same sort of working environment. And then when he was at Clapton, I was at Redbridge, he always stayed in touch. So we've always got on. And I said to him, "Look, I've had a few of these offers, but I've never really taken them seriously. But for you, I will." And he just said, "Come down to a home game and you'll be hooked." And I'll be real, it's incredible there. The fans are incredible, the people are incredible. It gives you that homely feel. Like I say, I've been there 6 weeks and I feel like I've been there years already. The boys are really good. And I feel like, and not just Salts, the previous manager, Brett, but something special has been created this season. And hopefully we can carry it on into the playoffs. Fingers crossed.
And it is, it's like if you look at those playoffs in the Ryman North, and it is sort of like, I wouldn't necessarily say done and dusty, but it's a bit like what JMS was saying earlier on. He was saying around that he thinks that there might be that five that might be there or thereabouts come the end of it. I mean, I spoke to a load of other people. I mean, Brentwood were on the show last week alongside Barry and Felixstowe, and I speak to Billy, of course, every Sunday, and they all sort of feel it's going to be that sort of five. I mean, do you agree as well?
Well, we as a management don't feel like that. We're going to need to keep the boys grounded because, like you see, anyone can beat anyone. We ourselves went to Ipswich two Tuesdays ago and lost after going and beating Tilbury, who was a bit of a six-pointer, then going away to Walthamstow, being a six-pointer and winning that. And then you look at it and go, we got Ipswich Wanderers who haven't won a game in 26 games, and then we slipped up. So it's as cliche, like Jamie said, it's as cliche as anything, but you have to take it game by game. We've got Heybridge at the weekend. All you have to do is look at their squad of players and how many good step four, step three proven players they've got. And we've just got to take it a game by game sort of thing. But what I will say is there is a great blend at the club with youth and experience. And I feel like prime example, Saturday just gone, the youth, because they've never played this level, they're just fearless. There's three or four of them boys who are 17, 18, never played this level before, but the big games just don't faze them because they don't realise how big the games are, if you know what I mean. You're playing Bury at home, non-league day, in front of a big crowd. I don't think they realise how much is at stake as such. And yeah, there's some real talent there.
And what's that like, though, to say that this weekend? I mean, what is it like going up against, a superstar sort of ex-Premier League football player when managing them? I mean, what is that like as well for even for the players if they get in they haven't seen if they're West Ham fans or Liverpool fans or whatever else, and they see him running in the door.
They probably wouldn't even know, but for me, it's great. Like, I'm not a fan, but he's a Premier League legend, isn't he? So like, it's amazing. But like I say, you look at Heybridge, you just got to look at their starting 11 from the weekend just gone, and there's players in that who have had promotions from step four to three or three to two, and there's FA Trophy winners in that like 11. So it's going to be difficult, but every game's like we said at the start, every game is difficult in this league. The level is very strong, and there's so much detail, and it is very fine margins.
I mean, I'm looking at some of their players, as you said on there. I mean, somebody that you probably know, don't you? I mean, I would have thought at 18, Connor Witherspoon, ex-Abley, Billy Crook's in there, and
Charlie Simpson,
you just look at the
the
team, they
Holmgren, who's won the league with Brighton. See, like, there's a lot. They've got loads of players that have been there, done it, and it only takes you to have an off day, and you can easily slip up.
I mean, tell people a little bit about, Brighton City, because I love coming down there. I mean, I always sort of end up finding a cafe on the beach. There's a nice little cafe down there on the beach, and then drive up to the ground and all the rest of it. It's just a fantastic place to do. I mean, what do you think of Terry? I mean, you've met him for the
Yeah,
last. The guy's a legend.
what I think special as well, we went to Wroxham lot Saturday before last, and there's like 30, 35 fans that are willing to travel. And that makes a huge difference, I'll be real, because 30 to 40 fans singing and cheering the boys on, it gives them that little bit of lift that sometimes other clubs don't really have, or I've not yet got. But it's like I say, it's a really, it's hard to describe, but it's just it's a small, quiet village club, but it's so big in stature with how they do everything. And like I said, fans, the people behind the scenes, there's so many people hands on deck willing to help. It's a special little club, to be fair.
I mean, you were saying, we were talking earlier on about teams in form, teams not in form. I'm just looking at the form guide on football web pages for the Isthmian North, and the top three in the Isthmian North are not even in that top five. So Gorleston, 16 from six, Redbridge, 13 from six, and Grays, 13 from six. And that just shows you how powerful that league is when the top three are not even in the playoffs.
And like the week before I went in, Brighton City went to Redbridge and they lost quite heavily 5-2. Just show Gorleston got a draw to Felixstowe this week. It just shows that it literally, if you have a bad day, anyone can beat anyone. And I've noticed this year more than any, most teams have two or three players that can win you a game. They've got something special and are match winners. So yeah, it'll be an exciting end to the season. I think it's still a lot of twists and turns, and like I say, we've still got Waltham Abbey, and other teams have got big games, and even like we're playing, who have we got? We've got Gorleston, who, like you said, informed team. We've got, I want to say, a team down the bottom who are fighting for their lives. I can't think of the name. Every team we play, literally apart from Heybridge, this Heybridge have something to play for. So it's difficult. And like I said to you, Heybridge is not going to be easy at all, purely because of the squad that they possess.
I mean, looking at it, it's Heybridge Swifts away, Grays at home, Cambridge City away, Waltham Abbey at home, Gorston away, and then finish up with Haringey Borough at home.
All right, that's the difficult. Yeah, fighting for their lives. Again, a manager that's been there and done it in the level above last year. Probably a squad that could probably be in the level above. So yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's a difficult running.
I mean, we're in that sort of like going into those playoffs. If you know, is it a sort of a are you and sort of just looking at going, oh, do you know what? I really want to get into that second or third place position because of the what it gives you.
Yes and no, because yeah, of course you want the home tie, but then you, at the moment, if someone said, "Will you finish fifth?" we'll probably take it just so we're there. Again, I think we've been a few, and previously before I come in, they've been to Bury and won, I think, this season, and got a draw away at Felix though. So again, I think that is literally down to the squad of boys, and it doesn't faze them home or away, and it doesn't faze them who they play against. They just play without any fear, and that's something that's instilled by the manager. Prime example on Saturday, playing Bury, 0-0, 15 minutes to go, striker on, holding midfielder off. Other managers might have gone, you know what, a point against top of the second in the league is fantastic, but Salts has just got that never say die attitude to go, actually, let's chuck another attacker on and let's see what happens. Yeah, and that I think transpires into the boys, that they just don't fear where they play or who they play.
And it's would you agree with me saying that the worst position is that sort of fifth place for well, I mean is this say for instance you've got Stanway in the Essex Senior League, you've got Woodford Town, whoever doesn't make that into that automatic playoff place, all of a sudden they might be playing that fifth place team that have been on a really good run, or sometimes you get that fifth place team that nicks it in the last game of the season.
Yeah, and they're
But that
buzzing.
team at the top that are devastated because they ain't won the
Yeah.
league. And then
Yeah.
when it comes to the playoff the following midweek, you end up getting turned over. I mean, is that a concern for both of you?
Yeah, you look at it and go, it could be two away games. You get into the playoffs, and then you've got two, a semi-final away, a final away. But like you say, if it is, and it could literally, I couldn't tell you who's going to win that league at the minute, because every game I look at it, somebody else is different at the top at the minute. It's Brentwood at one stage, it's looking like Felix, though. Another stage is looking like Bury. Like I said, there'll be twists and turns, but whoever finishes second will be devastated that they're not first. And is that going to play a part? I don't know. It can do, it might not. I've seen teams who have finished second absolute romp playoffs before, but then I also see teams that finish second on the last day and then they foul in the semi-final because they're not prepared to be there. They didn't expect to be there. But
I think
it's
it's a, I mean Jamie, yes, I mean would you say that's a worry?
really. Yeah, I mean, all these sort of things have crossed my mind. You see last year in the Essex Senior League that Sporting Bengal snuck in fifth and ended up the team that got promoted. And I think if you sort of your passion, your obsession has become around winning the league, and you've looked good for it for a long period of time, and then you don't achieve it. It's a really difficult task as a manager to pick your team up and go and perform in two huge playoff games. Whereas sort of the team that, the underdogs that were unexpected almost have that real good feel factor and maybe momentum behind them. And that's why quite often I think you tend to see maybe the underdog goes up. It's really, really tough to call. And it's interesting listening to George, because I feel the exact same in the senior league. And when he's talking about, you don't take anything for granted, and you can't predict what's going to happen, and every game's tough, all that sort of stuff. Exactly how I feel. But from the outside looking at Isthmian North, which is, I'm in a position where I don't have to feel those feelings because I'm not in that league. It looks clear to me that top five will stay as it is. I don't see a team putting a run together. Like George said, lots of teams beat each other in that league. I don't see a team putting enough wins together on the bounce to catch the teams that are already in there. And I mean, if you wanted my prediction, I think Brentford will win it. And then the playoffs, I think anything could chop and change in terms of where those teams sit in the playoffs.
That's quite interesting because managers I've asked, that's the first manager that said Brentford were going to win it.
They were my shout of
Shows
the
you,
season. I just think they've got a really, really strong squad, and I just think when they're going to lose games, they've lost games recently. But yeah, I just think they'll have a bit more consistency in the last few games. That's my shout. It doesn't mean to say that we're always really tight up there, And Stuart Bordy's done a great job at Felix though, and they're up there probably for the last 3 or 4 years. Bury a really tough side. They're all good.
They
Wolverhampton,
are all
I
great.
see, probably in form.
They're all really good teams. Nobody probably predicted Wolfham Abbey to be there, but if you look, they were in the playoffs last year, so they've done playoffs before. Keith's done playoffs last year, and now they look like they're winning it, and I hope they do. We're still friends, and we talk a lot, and there's a lot of boys in that team that have had promotions before, but it is so difficult to call me. Honestly, it's literally.
From the outside, George, as well, and I know you never know what goes on internally with a team, but from the outside, certainly it does look like at Brighton, so you've got no pressure on your shoulders. It just feels like you're that happy-go-lucky team that with no pressure, and it really shows. I feel like you've got real good momentum behind you with a really good young group.
And I think it was a big week when the last assistant manager left. And then they went to Redbridge and lost. And it was Salt's first loss as a manager. We come in and we played Tilbury's, which was massive, 6-pointer. And I think since then we've just kicked on. And like I said before, some of these boys are just so happy-go-lucky. They're just so full of energy. They don't look at an opposition and go, "Oh, that's blah blah. He won that league last year." Well, that's they just want to play their football. And they want to take risks in the right areas, and they want to do things that maybe a 25-year-old who's played non-league for the last 5 years wouldn't do. And it just seems to be working, and they've got a bounce on them at the minute. And again, if you'd have asked me Saturday at 0-0 with 15 to go, would you have taken it? Yeah. But if there was anyone who was going to score, it probably would have been Little Fletch, and it would have been us to win it. Just because since I've been there, in the last 6 weeks, there's moments of magic that he produces, and Louis and a few others that just show that they don't show play have any fear. It is just it's like the shackles are off and they just go out and do their thing.
It's
I
got
think
a
with
young group as well, George. Sorry, David. It's sometimes with a young group, you don't get so many egos around the place, and you know how tough that can be to manage. And especially in the bad moments, the tough moments. From the outside again, it looks like you've got a real humble group
There's three or
that
four
know what they're doing.
really experienced, like the skipper. Really, Adam Bailey Dennis played at a really good level, keeps them all humble, keeps them on their toes, but again, lets them just have that freedom. Like you've got Walker, who's just signed a pro at Ipswich. I watched him on Saturday, and I'll be real, as a centre half, he's not put a foot wrong for 6 weeks against some top opposition and strikers, and I can see why Ipswich have signed him. But the way he carries the ball, he can take on players like a winger at step four does. Like it's just crazy. Some of honestly, until you go and watch Brighton, see you go and if I say to anyone, if you've not seen him this season, try and get over for a game because some of these youngsters are so exciting, and they're a pleasure to watch every week. They're brilliant.
I mean, used to saying about the playoffs, and I mean, I don't know if you remember back to the days, and he always haunts me, does Mark Morsley, I must admit, but he's a good friend now. But it was one of those things when he was in charge of Needham Market at the time, and it was in Ispian North again. I think it's 2015, 2016, that sort of time. And him and Harlow going at each other's throats for the whole 40-odd games of the season, where one would win, the other would win, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ended up with over 100 points each, over 100 goals each, and literally Needham Market won it on the last game of the season. And Harlow lost by a point, 2 points.
Was that Thurrock in the semi-final?
Barak in the semi-final.
Okay.
And, and no disrespect, there was a little bit on it because of something that happened, I think, the
Yeah.
previous season around an illegitimate player and et cetera, and ended up getting thoroughly relegated. And it was Harlow that found it out. And it was all a
It was
little bit,
bias, wasn't there?
the atmosphere was, shall we say, Jamie, yes, it was probably a bit spicy. I think
Yeah.
that's probably the word for it. Behind the scenes and on the pitch. And it was, and 24 points between second and fifth, and Thurrock win after extra time. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, oh my God, the devastation that day was ridiculous.
That was
And
a great game, by the way.
it was
4-3, is it?
something like that, yeah. And I think then they went to the final, lost to Brentwood,
Yeah,
something
Brent.
stupid like 5-0 or something stupid, weren't it, in the final? But they went there. And but it's weird how that happens in those playoffs, because the first year Harlow were in the playoffs the first time, they beat Heybridge Swifts at Heybridge Swifts, and they'd beaten us three times, two in the league, once in the FA Cup. We then played Whitton in the final, and then when we went to play Whitton in the final, we'd beaten them twice that season, and then we got turned over. Following season, you get turned over in the semi-final, and then the following year they're in the playoffs again, where they had to play Cray Wanderers with Tony Russell and Hornchurch, which was probably the two hardest games they've had in
That
and
year.
won them both and got promoted. It's just a complete lottery. I mean, have you had experienced guys in there before in those playoffs?
Yeah, when we were in the Essex Senior at Redbridge, we had to do the inter-step playoff where we played a step 14. So we Enfield won the league, we come second. So we had a week's, I say a week spare. We had one league game, and then we had a semi-final of the Errington on the Wednesday, and then the playoff finals on the Saturday, and then a cup final on the bank holiday Monday. It was just a hectic time with the pitch at Redbridge. We were backlogged, so we were playing like Tuesday, Thursday every week for about 6 weeks. So we done all our homework that day. That last game of the season, Southend Manor had already been relegated. We'd already clinched second, so I didn't even go to the game. I went to Tilbury. So another member of staff went to Wakering, who played Sudbury that day. And another member of staff went to Holbridge. So I had everyone covered, sort of, to do our homework. And on the Wednesday, I remember being at Woodford away for a semi final of the League Cup. We got an email saying we're playing Heywood Heath. And I was like, who the hell? What the hell? Like, what is going on here? They completely jigged everybody around. And I don't know if you remember, you had like teams from like Stansted were going up north, and it was just absolute carnage.
Nice, yeah.
So we had no homework. I knew one person from Hive Town who sent me a bit of information. That was it. We went there 2-0 down at the half. And I'll be real, I sort of come to an acknowledgement. They were just better than us. We'd not prepared. They were just better than us. Although we'd had a great season, the boys looked flat on their feet. And we managed to win the game 3-2 in the like normal time. Absolutely unbelievable. But yeah, it's them sort of games, you cherish them forever. Like, even getting back to Thurrock days, when I used to be the reserve manager, Mark used to let us sit in the changing room for like a semi-final or a final. So while I'd listen to his team talk, and I'd watch how he'd prepare, and them sort of stuff stuck with us forever. Do you know what I mean? Because we would always be learning from people like that, or Keith Rowland or someone like that. We would always learn in the big games how to handle some of the pressure. Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, time's run away from us. I know you're desperate to get off this non-league call to go and watch England versus Latvia.
Oh, I forgot
Yeah, I might go off and watch WWE Raw myself, but there we go, because that's in Glasgow and it's live and right at this present minute in time. But yeah, we'll go back and see that. But a massive thank you for joining us today, for Jamie H. Keep up all the good work, mate. And as I say, we'll get as many people following that the page of yours. Do you want to let everybody know quickly before we go what the page is called?
it's cool. Let me get it up quickly because it's above my head quickly. It's on Facebook Messenger. Kent non-league football.
There you go, Kent Non-League Football. Get yourself on there and join the fun, because he puts a lot of hard work into it. And as I said, over the weekend you'll get pinged and pinged and pinged with all the results, the tables, half-time results, scores, everything on there as well. A massive thank you for Jamie S, and we wish Stanway all the very, very best, and hope to see you in step four next year.
Thanks, David. I've actually enjoyed myself. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
No worries, mate. Anytime, you're more than welcome. Anytime you want. And of course, George as well. I would say we wish, well, I do wish Brightley Sea all the best because I love the club. I think it's fantastic. But of course, my hometown club, Waltham Abbey, are in there as well still. I was hoping to come and see you on
You
April
next
the
month.
19th, but I've got a wedding we've been invited to. So unfortunately, I won't be there. But if I can get out of it, I'll definitely be coming up to Brightley Sea on that day. But wish you and Terry and all the boys, Rye, all the very, very best, other
Thank
than
you for having
you.
me on, mate. I appreciate you.
But coming, of course, then tomorrow night, we've actually got, of course, so you keep saying tomorrow night, I keep losing my track of time. On Wednesday night, of course, don't forget, 7 o'clock on the Southern League YouTube channel, you can get to see all of this week's goals from the Southern League, from the Premier Central, Premier South, Division One South, and Division One Central. They'll all be on there from 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And then on Thursday night, for the first ever time, I'm actually putting my head together with Martin Underhay, referee. And of course, we are starting our own podcast again on there. And of course, it's called Respect the Whistle. And we're recording the first episode of that on Thursday evening. And if you want to see Martin, go on to search Unders 007, believe it or not, on TikTok. He's the TikTok king. He's got over 100,000 people watch all of his TikTok stuff. He goes through all the weekend's games like you see on Sky Sports on the big screen, and he shows you all the events. So, of course, if you have any refereeing decisions, good and bad, we don't just want the bad, good and bad, then please make sure that you send them in to us, and we'll get Martin to have a look at it. And the email address you want is respectthewhistle@gmail.com. That's respectthewhistle@gmail.com, and we'll put them to Martin. And Mike will give his opinion on whether it was a penalty, red card, free kick, etc., 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 on that Respect the Whistle podcast, which we will start recording this Thursday. But from George, from Jamie, and Jamie, thank you for watching tonight, and good night.